One thing I forgot to mention to Brother Jimmy, there is a new directory sheet on the bulletin board in the back. Check and make sure your information is correct, if you would please, so we can know that we've got that information right. And we will print some more and make them available for everyone once we are at least as confident as we can that the information is correct. Because many things have changed since the one was put out last year. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, as Brother Jimmy read for us, Jesus mentions that a lamp is for a purpose. It's not to stick in a closet and close the door, or to hide underneath the bed. The purpose of a lamp is to give light. He goes from that to a statement that we hear here in this place and in many other places, that the one who has ears, let him hear. While we may not always think through this process when we hear that phrase, when we consider that in light of the context of the story of the lamp has a purpose, our ears have a purpose. God gave us our ears so that we can hear. And we need to use them to hear. So we want to talk this morning about the idea of let him hear. What's talked about? What's Jesus trying to tell us when he says this? And what are some important things that we need to keep in mind regarding this? Now, when we consider this phrase, we find it found in several instances in the life of Christ. We've already seen it in our Wednesday night Bible classes. We've studied the life of Christ in a couple of instances. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, Jesus uses this phrase after giving the identity of who John was. And we've talked about that a little bit in our Wednesday night class. It was important for the Jews especially to recognize who John was. And in that context, John says, if you'll understand it, or Jesus says, if you understand it, John is Elijah. Now, we could spend an entire lesson, I guess, on why that was important to the Jews, but basically Elijah was coming before the Messiah, and so if Elijah was there, the Messiah was close, and they ought to have listened to John, who was preparing the way for the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, we hear this mentioned in the telling of the parable of the sower. And the emphasis of that parable, while oftentimes we look at it and certainly we see the teaching that there are various ones that are going to hear the word and they're going to react differently, I think when we read through all that parable and we look at the very end and where Jesus talks about the one who has the open and willing mind, the good ground, that's the emphasis. You ought to be prepared and receptive and willing to receive. Brethren who are listening to this parable, if you will hear this, hear it. It's an important point that they needed to understand. Later in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43, he uses this phrase in reference to warnings about Satan with the parable of the tares, and that Satan is going to do his best to get in the way of you growing and serving the Lord as you ought. Important. You need to listen to this. The other place we find this is in the book of Revelation. In the letters to the seven churches, each one of them includes this phrase. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you read from the King James or one of those others, it may be phrased a little different, but the point is the same. This message matters. And I think that's one of the points we need to gather when we look at this, when we try to consider what it is that Jesus is getting across with this phrase. What's his point? It's pay attention. Or listen. Put your focus. Are you listening? Sometimes we find ourselves, I hope we find ourselves talking to someone that's not listening rather than someone talking to us and we're not listening. But I recall a few phrases from my dad after sometimes he tried to talk to me in one ear and out the other. In fact, he even used the phrase, "I may need to drill a hole in your head and pour it in," when I was a teenager. We can't be like that. We need to listen, and we need to listen so that we can understand. And we need to learn the importance and appreciate the need for listening. And certainly this need is great when we're considering the Word of God, and those are the points at which Jesus makes this statement, but listening is important in all parts of life. There are at least three kinds of hearers that are talked about in Scripture in various places, and I'm confident that most of us who have been a part of the church for a long time have heard lessons about these things and can probably name off the three things I'm going to talk about as we look this morning. The first being dull of hearing. You've never heard that, have you? Yes, we've all heard that. Because we've all looked at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, where the Hebrew writer tells those brethren that he was writing to, "I've got some things I want to talk to you about. I would love to talk to you about Melchizedek, but concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." You're not interested in what I'm trying to tell you. It's too much trouble to pay attention to that and try to figure out what you're saying and come to an understanding. It's more difficult than I want to deal with. That's the attitude that we're talking about when we talk about one who is dull of hearing. Sometimes that develops over time because I've heard this so many times. I don't want to hear it again. Or it's a subject that is difficult to understand and we're not willing to put the effort into it to be able to understand and know. But we need to listen. We need to hear. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, in talking to his apostles regarding their request to hear what the parable of the sower was all about, said, "I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear nor understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and I would heal them.'" Tired of listening. Certainly, we recognize the dire nature of this kind of an attitude in regards to hearing from the Word of God, but let's understand this can affect us in all aspects of life. One of the major difficulties that we have in society today is a lack of communication. And communication has two parts. The speaking and the listening. If you are having troubles in your relationship with your children, or children, you're having troubles in your relationship with your parents, try this. Pay more attention to what's being said. Now, we tell our children that all the time. Pay attention. Listen to me. But do we heed that advice ourselves? When our child comes to us with a problem and wants to talk to us about a situation that was going on at school or something that was happening with one of their friends, do we listen to what they say? Or do we, she's mad at her friend again, or her friend's mad at her again. Here's what I'm going to tell her in order to fix that, and we don't really hear what she says. It can be devastating to a young person for the one they look to for advice to not take the time to listen. Children, you need to listen as well. Just because you think you know doesn't mean you do. And if your parents are giving you the respect to listen to what you have to say in regards to your problems, you need to listen to them. And yes, I know I'm talking to an audience of people who don't have children at home anymore. Well, a couple of you do. But you know what? Many of us here are still children, or are parents and have children. Maybe they're adults, they've grown up, and they're out on their own, and they're dealing with their own situation. But who do they come to when they need advice? Somebody that they finally realized has been there before? We still have that responsibility to listen. We don't have the same authority that we had before. It's not the exact same relationship. But if we want to keep that relationship, we've got to listen. Certainly other areas of the family as well. I talk about parents and children. Maybe I should have talked about husband and wife first. One of the great failures in the husband and wife relationship is a unwillingness to listen. We've got lots of things on our mind. I don't have time to do this. What do you say? It quick, get it out, we'll solve it and move on. I read and it's kind of a devotional email that one of the preachers down in Texas does, and he told the story of a husband and wife and how they had a good marriage, things were going pretty well, but they were a little rocky, and they went out to eat, and the husband didn't say a word the whole time they were there. He was always the wife talking and asking him questions, and he'd grunt or yeah or whatever, and the wife just couldn't figure out. She finally, I think the story was she was writing in her diary or telling one of her girlfriends or something, and she put down, I think he's seeing somebody else. And then when they looked in his diary, it said, boat won't start. Can't figure out why. She made an assumption, but it was because he wasn't listening to her and responding to what she said. Now, certainly he wasn't right in not communicating. You know, a simple statement, couldn't get the boat to start today. Could have solved all of that. The importance of communication in the husband-wife relationship is what this story was emphasizing. And it takes listening. And we all fail at it sometimes. Something we need to consider. We need to think about. Listening. Not trying to solve the problem until after we've heard what the problem is. Same could be said regarding the student and teacher and their relationship back and forth with one another, the employer and employee. The same can be said about interaction at the grocery line in Walmart. We need to listen. Not ignore, not, I've heard so many things, I'm just not interested in hearing this anymore. Maybe one of the reasons we have difficulty reaching people out in the world is we're not willing to sit down and listen to their story about why they're where they are, how they came to be, and what their thoughts are about that, what they see as their needs. We just want to tell them, you need to hear, believe, repent, and be baptized, and you'll be saved. Sometimes, if we would take the time to sit down and listen, we would find that they are so far from being at that point that we need to spend a lot of time with them. We need to listen. Sometimes, we only hear the parts we want to hear, When my wife says pie, I know she said pie. Coffee, too. Or I'll get it in a cup, Phyllis. But sometimes when she says garbage, I don't hear it. Not she's saying garbage. She's telling me the garbage is ready to go out. I don't hear it. She saw that by sitting at the door and trip over it. But if I would listen, pay attention. And of course, those are simple things. Listening matters then. We need to make sure that we don't become dull of hearing. Maybe some other terms you've heard referencing this: mule-headed, talking to a wall, arguing with a stump. Y'all didn't have that colorful of a growing up, huh? We need to be listeners, not dull of hearing. Not an attitude, I've heard this before and I'm not going to listen again. Listen. It matters. Especially with the Word of God. Listen to what it says. Another phrase we find in Scripture that's talking about hearing is one we looked at not too long ago in our Sunday morning Bible class in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul gives warning to Timothy after telling him he needs to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Or as the old King James says, itching ears. Sometimes everything we hear is about ourselves. And if it's not, we don't listen. We need to be careful of developing that kind of an attitude. We need to be careful of only cultivating those friends and such that would make us feel better, that would agree with us. Seen in the past, books, movies, whatever, the boardroom where the executive says, "This is what I want to do," and everybody says yes. "And this is what I'm going to do," and everybody says yes. Of course, the image is just got a board full of yes men, so he can do whatever he wants to do. Maybe we need to cultivate some people that are different from us. Not sinners and evil and wicked men, but people that don't necessarily make us feel good, but are willing to tell us how things are. We need to be willing to listen when things are not just said to make us feel better about who we are and what we're doing. Else we become one of these people who is only satisfied, only willing to listen when somebody's talking about something that makes me happy. I hear fine. But I also need to hear, "Take out the trash." And once again, this is something that applies in all of our relationships. Yes, it especially applies in regards to the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to tell us things we don't like sometimes. But it applies in our family. And we still need to listen, even when it's not something that makes us happy. When the daughter comes home from school crying and upset, we need to be willing to sit down and listen about what's going on in her life. Why she's that way. Does it make Daddy happy to hear that? No, it doesn't. It's not what he wants, but he needs to listen. When the son comes and says, "Dad, I disagree with what you said." Ooh. We don't like that one at all, do we? "I'm Dad. You don't disagree with me. You just do what I said." We'll worry about consequences later. But sometimes they do, don't they? "I disagree." We need to be willing to sit down and listen. Why? Does that mean we're going to change our stance? Not necessarily.
But we're going to have a better relationship with our son if we're willing to listen, or with our father who's already on up in years and we got an idea of wanting to do and he doesn't want to do it.
The problem with developing an itching ear status is anything that is presented to us that looks like it's going to take some work or be a little bit uncomfortable, we're not interested in anymore. So, when we read from the Word of God and it says we need to live righteous and holy and upright lives, that's going to take some work. I want to read in the Bible where it says God loves me and therefore He's going to save me and I don't have to worry about it because He's already shown He loves me and He's going to take care of me. So I can go on and do what I want. It's not going to happen. The Word of God tells us we're going to have to work. And by the way, no matter how much work you might do, you still don't deserve what you're going to get. Even after you've done every single thing God has said for you to do as His servant and as His child, you're still an unworthy servant. And God will save you because He loves you. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that worship is all about God. No, it's all about me. I come to services on Sunday morning so that I can feel good. I come on Wednesday night because it makes me feel better. No. I come to services on Sunday morning so I can praise and honor and worship God. And I come on Wednesday night so I can study from His Word and praise and honor and worship God with the brethren. Itching ear syndrome brings failure to accept things that require discipline or work. And once again, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about spiritual listening or we're talking about our family relationship or our work or school or out in the world. If we only hear what makes us feel good, we're going to have problems. We need to be careful of developing that sort of an attitude. If he has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that word let there is not allow him to hear. It is he ought to hear. Ears are there for the purpose of listening. And that brings us to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. The fair, noble-minded, willing ears. Notice what's said about the Berean brethren there. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. They wanted to hear what was being presented. They took it into themselves. They listened attentively. They examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They had a desire to know. They were attentive. They were focused. They're what Jesus described as the good ground. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the seed and the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word with an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They wanted to hear. Folks, we need this in all of our relationships. We're talking about parent and child, we need to be willing to listen. We need to want to hear what they have to say with attention so that we can understand. We're talking about husband and wife, talking about student, teacher, employer, employee, in the checkout line at the food center. We need to have a desire to listen and understand when somebody talks to us. Because by understanding, then we can determine what's the proper action to take. Or that there's no action to take. Now, sometimes listening is what's needed overall. It's not that they need us to do something, they just want to talk to us about what's going on. We need to be willing to listen. And it will bring much greater success in dealing with any situation that we might find ourselves in. But most especially in regards to the Word of the Lord, if we want to know what God has planned for us and what He expects of us, we've got to come to the Scriptures with an open and willing heart, ready to listen and obey. Listening is essential. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are you ever going to develop faith and trust and hope in God if you don't listen to His Word? John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we have life in His name. These things are written so we can know. And so we need to listen to them. We need to hear. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, so that we do not drift away from it. Think about that for a minute. We need to listen to the things we've already heard. Because if we refuse to listen, if we determine in our hearts that it is not in our best interest to hear, we're going to have to suffer the consequences. In fact, we, like those that Paul and Barnabas are speaking to in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, have repudiated the Word and judge ourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Listening is essential. And so we need to be listeners. That means we need to give our attention to the speaker. We need to focus on what's being said. We need to listen from the beginning to the end. Now, in a situation such as we are in at this exact moment right now, I don't want you to begin to think that Dan is saying you have to pay attention to me and you have to look at me. You pay attention to the Word that is presented. Don't let things distract you from the message. You're going to have to listen to my voice. I'm sorry, you have to listen to my voice. It's not always pleasant in order to hear what I'm saying, but focus on the message. Don't let pictures distract you. Don't let flashing lights or whirling fans, coughs, people going to get water, whatever it may be, don't let those things distract you. Put your focus on the message. Focus on the speaker so you can hear what's being said. Now, we made mention of how the need for listening in our family situations, that means we need to focus on the one that we're talking with. Turn the TV off. Put your book or newspaper away. Look at the person that's talking to you. Maybe even think about the relationship you have with that person. That's your spouse. That's the person you said, I want to live my life with you and I want to help you and we're going to work together. Pay attention to them. Listen. If the boat wouldn't start, stop thinking about the boat. You're with your wife. Focus on her. Wives, get your husband's attention
and you pay attention to him. Maybe in order to have this particular discussion, because of the seriousness of it, we need to go out in the shed out back and shut the door so the kids don't distract us either. Turn the phones off. Now, I'm not saying we have to do that every time we have a discussion. Most of the times we can tune out the things we want to tune out, and we need to tune them out and put our focus on one another. If you're in a situation where you are a student listening to a teacher, pay attention to the teacher. We need to put our focus on the one that's doing the speaking if we're going to listen. I guess maybe I should add that also fits when we're reading. We're not just talking about listening to the vocal word. We need to listen to the written word as well. Now, reading Facebook statuses or the latest novel or whatever that may be, that may not take a lot of focus and attention. But when we're reading the Word of God, we need to focus on the Word of God. Maybe that's the time we need to only read, turn the radio off. Stop talking to one another because you're reading the Word of God. I remember way back when I was a little fella, I'd get letters from my grandmother. And when I'd get a letter from my grandmother, I would sit down and I would read that letter. I usually didn't have a book in front of me or the TV going. I'd go in my room and I'd sit there and I'd read that letter. Why? Because it was important to me. That was my grandmother. She was writing to me. We need to have that kind of devotion even greater when we're talking about the Word of God. He wrote that for me, so I could be with Him for eternity. We need to pay attention. We need to put our focus. We need to trust the message that has been delivered to us. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had the good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." Do you read the Word of God with faith? That is God's Word? Trust the message. But verify. Remember Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? Those Bereans that heard the word, took it into themselves, they received the word gladly. They also examined the scriptures to see whether what Paul was saying was true. We need to verify the message, especially when it's a message coming from man. And then we need to put it into action. Listening involves more than just hearing the words. It means taking them into our heart, coming to an understanding of what they mean, and then taking action based upon that message. James says we need to look intently in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abide by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in his deeds. Let him hear. Maybe sometime we'll go back and look a little closer at those particular areas where Jesus just kind of shouted out, "Pay attention to what I'm saying." Talk about their importance. But this morning I want us to recognize that what Jesus is telling us there is it is important to listen. We need to listen in our family relationships. We need to listen in our job relationships, in our social interactions, and most importantly, We need to listen in our brother and sister relationships as Christians, and we need to listen to God. If you want to know, you've got to listen to the Word. Let Him hear. God gave you ears, He gave you eyes. Most of us can hear pretty well. Most of us can see all right. Even those of us that might not see real good can still, well, sort of hear all right. He gave us those things for a reason. He delivered the Word to us in a form that we could understand. We don't have to learn Greek in order to know what Jesus told His disciples to do. I'm sure glad for that. I don't have enough time with English. We can know what God would have us do. But it means listening to the Word He's delivered to us. Sometimes it means listening to an old gray-headed fella who doesn't have the most pleasant voice in the world as he talks to you about the Word of God. Other times it means reading from the Scriptures and verifying what the old gray-headed guy may have said. We need to listen so that we can apply, so that we can be saved. Look in your heart this morning. You've heard the Word of God. Every single one of us here this morning have obeyed the Word of God. Are you still living in accordance with the Word of God? Are you looking to the Word of God to guide you in your life? Are you listening to God and applying what He says? If not, we urge you to come back to the Lord. Give your life to Him. If you've never given your life to the Lord, we encourage you to do so this morning. To make the decision to no longer serve self, but to serve God. To give attention to His Word and use it to guide you in all your life. If you will turn away from your sins, confessing your belief in Jesus as the Savior, as the one who died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, you can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, through obedient baptism, buried with Christ, so that you might rise up a new creature. If you've done that in the past and you've strayed from the straight and narrow, we urge you to come back. You will repent of your sins, God has promised, and He is faithful and just. He will forgive you, wiping away as if there's no sin. The congregation will assist you in getting things right with the Lord. We urge you to come and let your desire be known. We stand in sin for the church.